Hey everybody, thanks for listening to episode 1 of 10 Junk Miles. I've got some good news and I've got some bad news. The bad news is the sound on episode 1 is terrible because we had no idea what we were doing and it sucks. But the good news is the sound improves astronomically in the rest of the episodes. So if for some reason you just can't handle it, just skip to episode 2. But I promise
you... Content in episode 1 is pretty good. Racine is pretty awesome.
The content's good. You might come back after you get hooked on the podcast later. We just wanted to drop this message in case you thought the entire podcast was going to have this sound problem. So once again, thanks for listening. Bear with us. We'll get our shit together on episode 2.
We got it together.
It's time to run 10 junk miles together.
10 junk miles.
10 junk miles.
10 junk miles.
Welcome to the inaugural episode of 10 junk miles. I'm Scott Coomer with Corey Fain, Katarina Claiborne, and Aaron German. Just by way of introduction of what this podcast is and what it's all about, this was an idea that we came up with in terms of a running podcast by runners that is not necessarily about running, but more geared towards introducing you to a bunch of people that you can take with you on your run and listen to their stories and listen to the issues that interest them as runners, rather than interviewing one famous runner or someone who's an author, just more of a feel-good, have-fun type podcast with respect to running. The format is going to be 10 minute segments that hopefully you're listening to while you're running right now. And if you need motive to go out and get your junk miles in or get your run in, our idea is that you'll take us with you and maybe we'll make you laugh and maybe we'll make you think and maybe we'll introduce you to something that you didn't know. With me are my running friends, Katarina Claiborne, Aaron German, and Corey Fain. Let me tell a little bit about myself, and then we'll go around and we'll talk a little bit about each person so that you can get to know all of us. I'm a ultra runner who has a background in initially marathon running. The co-host Aaron is a running friend of mine. We actually discovered running together. I ran with Fleet Feet for a while here in Chicago, born and raised in Milwaukee, moved to Chicago, and got into marathon running, ran a bunch of marathons, never very quickly and never very well, but had a lot of fun. And at some point I was introduced through a book by an author named Mishka Shubale to the concept of running a 50-mile race. And I decided that I thought that's something that I could try to do. And in the process, I met a whole bunch of really interesting people in the sport of ultra running, although I do still dabble in the marathon on occasion, and kind of just developed into this trail running group and got to know a lot of really cool people. Since then, I've run a few marathons, a bunch of 50-milers, 50Ks, two 100-mile finishes with some other random assorted stupid things that we've all decided to do together, like running from Milwaukee to Chicago and Chicago to Milwaukee and all kinds of just like crazy things.
But you're not above the 5K, Scotty.
No. I did 5K a couple years ago too. And hopefully
but you gotta wear a cotton t-shirt when you do that. That's your number one rule.
Old school cotton t-shirt, Max Chaffage, minimalist shoes. You know, a couple years ago we got together and we had a 5K with all the people from our ultra group, and we had a really good time. So,
Scotty, how many miles a week do you put in, do you think, on average?
I would say somewhere between...
Not 30, a race week.
30
week.
Is a light week. 60, 70 is a heavy week.
There you go. All right. So,
and
what do you do for a living? Did you have all this free time to be running?
I'm an attorney, and I live in downtown Chicago here.
Of course, I know all this. I'm just asking for the people.
Oh, I mean, it's good that the people get to know us, you know? And that, you know, we do more than just ultra running. So this is...
What's your best finish in any race? Just so we get that out of the way. They want to know that right away.
Now, what do you mean by best? Are you talking about your fastest time, or are you talking about the best race?
Right.
Like, if I were to die, what performance would I want everyone to remember me by?
Yeah.
I would say the Superior Sawtooth 100. By the skin of my teeth, 37 hours, 48 minutes.
Right.
And I think that's probably the thing I'm most proud of. Like, if, like the time where I looked around and said, you know what, I did it.
That's awesome, because I was there for that one.
Yeah. Aaron actually was my pacer for the final segment, and he had run the marathon of Sawtooth.
What was fun about that is that I knew the last 20 miles because I'd already run it, and I kept telling you we were close, and you need to do this for me. You got to finish this for me.
Well, the great thing about it was that, you know, and Aaron doesn't have a background in trail or ultra running, and Aaron is my best friend. So I got Aaron to come out and be my pacer at the Kettle Moraine 100 for my second 100-mile race. And Aaron didn't really know what he was getting himself into. And so I went out to the Kettle Moraine, and I just completely flopped. At mile, like, 80, I ended up dropping. And Aaron wasn't an experienced pacer. He didn't know what he had to do. Basically, what he did is a lot of telling me that I was going slow and that this was easy for him and that he was probably going to have to get his miles in later on during the weekend. Because so he kind of made his pacing experience about him a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then
it was super boring. It was like,
so,
it wasn't fun.
So then,
walking most of it.
Yeah, like, yeah. What are we doing here? So then, like mile 70 or 80, I remember I said to Aaron, I need you to go ahead and I need you to break down the math for me, because I don't want to be wasting my time out here. I want to know if I have a shot of finishing. And when I got to the aid station at mile 70 and I'm all, you know, a million different ways of crazy, Aaron sat me down and he gave me this very complicated mathematical equation about how what I just did, I have to do in X amount of minutes, and then I have to do this other part, and why it was. And I just, in the middle of it, I said, this is too hard, and I quit. And I think that, you know, we all felt bad about the fact that I dropped out. So Sawtooth was his redemption, and I didn't even know he was going
to
be.
The thing I feel most bad about is I never had to, like, watch you apply Vaseline before.
I did a full body lube in
the
dark.
Not on the top half either.
Yeah. So anyway,
all right.
Aaron became my pacer for Sawtooth at the last section, and he's the guy that kind of got me to the end. I ended up having two pacers, and it was kind of redemption for all of us.
Right.
So I think that would be my crowning achievement. And I think that the other thing that I'm proud of about myself in running is setting up an ultra group, the Flatlanders, which has kind of grown into a huge group in the Chicagoland area. We started out with like four of us, and eventually now we have almost 600 people. So that would be it for me. And you know, and this podcast was something that I came up with. It was one of my ideas. That I know there's a lot of great ultra running podcasts and trail running and just running podcasts, but most of them seem to be focused on one thing. And what I wanted to do was kind of bring the funny and bring the lighthearted, bring the chit chat, you know, make it something that maybe two or three episodes from now, you're going to look forward to lacing up and going for a 10-mile run with your friends, and that we would be, you know, and then we have a guest that hopefully she'll become a friend at some point, but that's her laughing in the background. That then you would think of us as your running friends when you don't have any people to go run with. But we really want it to be more than just ultra and trail running too. We want it to also be marathon runners and 5Ks and just anybody that runs, that you lace up and you take us and you go on your 10-mile run. We're going to have 10 minute segments. You're going to hear the irritating Garmin sound in between the segments, which will indicate that we're switching to a new topic. And
it's like we're doing 10 minute miles.
So you're going to do 10 minute miles. And for me, that's hauling ass. Yeah. For Aaron, that would be painfully slow.
I don't totally understand the title of our podcast, 10 Junk Miles.
Well, it's the idea.
She never runs junk miles. They're all quality.
All your miles are quality?
I don't understand junk miles. Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't. I really don't. Explain.
It's the one workout where you don't want to go, and you just got to go and get your miles in. And so you look at your phone, and you see that there's a new podcast that was released, and you say, you know what? Now I can go, and I can run with my friends, and I'll get my miles in. So junk miles is just miles that you're using to fill up the training.
You never run junk miles before?
I do, but I thought that was a bad thing. I think we're turning junk miles into a positive here, and so, you know, that's good.
Yeah. Katarina just cracked the code. We're taking a negative, we're making it a positive through podcasting. Yeah. So now, I guess that's the first mile. Yeah. Now we have to move to the next mile, which is about you guys. So, Katarina, tell us about yourself. Where are you from? Where'd you grow up?
I've lived in the suburbs of Chicago most of my life and have been running most of my life in one way or another.
Now, you were a coach, right?
I was. I was a sprinter when I was young in high school and in college, and then I coached for many years. I coached high school girls in cross country and track, and then went from hating long distance running to running 100 miles.
What do you mean by hating it? Like you ran a short distance?
Well, I was a sprinter. Miles is too much, yeah, and then I was kind of forced to run cross country to stay in shape during the off season, and really didn't like it at all. The suffering, the you know, all the bad parts of it is what I remember.
But you didn't just go from cross country to 100 miles either. You were a marathoner for a while.
I ran two marathons.
Do you have the Boston jacket?
I ran Boston.
What year?
In 2013, the year of the bombing.
That's when I ran it though.
But I did not buy the jacket, Aaron. Did you?
Of course, it was the first thing I bought.
I think Aaron has 12 jackets at home.
I was freaked I was freaked out, like stepping off of the subway and just like being bombarded by thousands of people wearing the same clothes. It freaked me out, and it didn't seem like something I was going to ever wear, so I didn't buy it.
So how many marathons did you run altogether?
I've run four at this point. Three before I started ultra running.
What's your PR?
In the marathon?
Yes.
3:43.
Okay. Just so we know. What about 5K? Do you know your PR?
5K, I believe it's maybe like 22:10.
And you've run 100 miles.
And I've run 100
miles. What's your PR for 100 miles?
Three times.
That's very
28 something? 28 hours and something?
That sounds pretty slow.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty slow. Maybe someday I'll pick up the pace.
Scotty, what's your PR? Like 34 hours?
3:43.
Yeah.
Me and Katarina both ran the exact same time at the Potawatomi 100, 1 year apart.
Yeah, it's a very special thing.
Were you guys together the whole time?
No. 2 years apart. Not at all.
Yeah. So you didn't even know each other yet.
No. Well, I ran the 100 miler last year at Potawatomi. It was my first 100 miler. And when I finished, my time was 30 hours and 43 minutes. And then Scott goes, "What? That was my time last year."
Isn't up that to crazy? The minute.
You're as fast as a young mother of three?
Yes. Or she's as fast as as an obese middle-aged man.
I'm sprinting.
Anyway, we have a special connection here.
I'm curious why you hated long-distance running as a sprinter. Do you think you were just running too fast all the time?
Yeah, I mean, were you trying to sprint?
Yeah, I think like my legs always want to go faster than what my lungs will allow. I still have that problem today. So it feels comfortable to run fast, but I can't. The breathing just isn't there. So I slow down.
So then you, after Boston, then that's when you became a long-distance runner.
Actually, before Boston, I had found, a group that was running ultras and started meeting up with them at the Palos Forest Preserves. Scott was one of them. He was one of the first people that I met and was just so intrigued by the idea of running these long distances. I kind of ran Boston as an afterthought because by then I knew what I really wanted to do, and that was to eventually, run a 50-miler and hopefully a 100-miler.
And you've also run Chicago to Milwaukee?
I did. Ran Milwaukee to Chicago, the Turkey Trot. I did that in November of this past year.
Let's not get anybody confused. That's a race. That's not a race. That's something you guys made up.
Yes. We just had fun. we just had fun running from Milwaukee.
Whoa. We didn't have that much fun.
Yeah, this year, just reading on the internet didn't sound that fun.
You guys
fun.
Put a credit card in your pocket and you started running, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right. But it was like a bonk fest.
Yeah,
I think that's when I experienced my first true bonk.
And you are a podium finisher multiple times. What do you mean?
On the international circuit.
First of all, you're international beer mile champion.
Right.
Yeah, so this past year I traveled to Leadville to watch the part of the Leadville 100. And I participated in the beer mile, which apparently I had a hidden talent. I won the women's division in that race.
Which is a good story that we'll have to share at some point.
Someday you can learn the details of that. But I guess my favorite part of my short ultra running career so far was last year I finished the Bear 100 in Utah. Kind of like Scott, just by the skin of my teeth, I finished. But it was quite an experience to run in the mountains for the first time.
And that's one of the hardest 100-mile races that there is.
Well,
it's a hard rock qualifier.
Yeah, Yeah. So,
so how many miles a week do you do when you're training?
I probably run around 50 miles a week.
What was your one race, the one great performance that stands out in your mind as your, if there's one thing that you...
The bear probably.
Oh, yeah, definitely finishing the bear. You know, I can feel the same. If I think back to that race, I can feel the emotions as I was finishing up. It was just an amazing experience of being in such a beautiful place and having to push myself through such crazy circumstances. So that was definitely the highlight of my short career.
Second thing, I'm always very interested in. You have like 2 kids.
I do.
A husband.
Yeah.
And a job.
Yeah, I have a part-time job.
And you run like 50 miles a week.
Yeah.
I'm single. I work from home.
get moving, Aaron.
I mean, I do like I probably do 3 hours a day working out, but like if my brother visited me this weekend, I could barely find any time.
So yeah, I just squeeze things in. You know, for example, today I had a 2-hour window, so I went out and I ran for 2 hours. You just kind of make it work, and I don't do high mileage in regards to ultra running. So
does anybody in your family like kind of complain sometimes because you prioritize the running over them?
My kids probably do. Yeah. I mean, sometimes I just
how old are they?
They're 8 and 5, so but they also like it. They also think it's
so
cool.
You can't put them in a stroller and push them anymore.
Aaron, you had to be there at the Leadville Beer Mile when Alex came up to her and said, "Mama, I've never been more proud of you in my whole life."
Oh God. I'm going to cry just because I'm a 35-year-old single male. I might cry because
of it. Let's talk about you a little bit, too. So tell us about you.
We're not doing my segment yet.
Yeah, we're doing your segment right now. Where are you from?
It's you.
I'm from Kansas City, Missouri. Kansas City, Kansas.
You say Missouri?
When you're from there, that's how you say
it's
it.
It's the Grand Union of Missouri.
Yeah. I don't actually say it the way my father does. Respect his wishes.
And what's your running background?
I guess I started running in, like, 2003 because I'd stopped weightlifting and I'd put a bunch of weight on. And I was working 9 hours a day and I was terrible at it. But I thought if Scotty said he ran a marathon, and what'd you weigh like in 2004, Scotty, 2003? Like
260, 270?
Yeah, like a deuce and a half.
Yeah.
I'm like, if that guy can run a marathon.
So and we live next door to each other.
I'm like, why can't I run a marathon? I'm 23 years old.
Yeah.
So it was. Did you guys meet at Fleet Feet or before that?
Oh,
you knew each other?
No,
so you go okay.
No, we have a friend in common, and then him and our mutual friend moved next door to me.
Our friend in common was my old roommate from college. Right. And Scotty and him met on a chat website in 1992.
Yeah. About philosophy. Okay.
So
that's
way
something?
Back.
Not necessarily creepy, but in the right light, it could be considered creepy. Yeah.
So then you started running, and you, how many marathons have you done?
Well, you and I would go running because it was a way to eat a bunch of food afterwards.
That's true. And, we meet girls at races.
Yeah, we run like, we actually, one time we even worked a half marathon just for women.
Yeah.
We were like the guys that handed out the t-shirts and stuff.
Right.
And women
Aaron,
aren't
Aaron
into...
was very excited about number 69.
I always wanted to get that, 1 year you got that number, like randomly for some race, you know?
And how many marathons have you done?
I don't know anymore. Probably over 15, but less than 25.
What's your PR?
252.57.
Dang. So you're the fast guy of the podcast.
I know, but you know, you show up at these races and you look around, and every 35-year-old single white guy is bald and looks like they don't do anything else, and we all look the same.
What about 5K? What's your fastest 5K?
18-something, 18:20. No, and it's not that fast.
And you've done some trail
it's
races
not that
too,
fast,
right?
He says.
Done 2 trail races. Both marathons. No, one was a 50K. The marathon was like a 5-hour thing.
Yeah. That was the Superior Sawtooth Marathon.
And then 50K was, what's that? Was the Frozen Gnome.
Oh, yeah. Frozen Gnome.
Came in fourth. Fourth place, you get absolutely nothing.
Nice first job. Loser.
Yeah. You get literally
nothing. Oh, and you also have one of the fastest 50K times recorded last year.
74th in 2013. Yeah. It was on the road.
He did the Lakefront 50K.
Yeah.
What was your time for that?
3:38.
Right. Wow.
Just so you know, I've run one and only one marathon that's even near that time.
Yeah. And it was the winner was like 3:20 or something, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean it's
now it sounds like you prefer the marathon distance to the ultra distances. How come?
Well, my hips hurt. My body's getting beat up and I don't necessarily love it's hard to trail run around Chicago. I live right downtown. So, like, trail running is like a whole different kind of sport. To me, it's a whole different sport. You have to run on rocks and roots, and you fall, and it's not really a heart rate thing. It's
so that was another mile. That's it. We don't even get to know
2 miles in.
Two segments. So many questions. Corey was the next segment. And...
this sucks that I can't say anything. Ask him why.
You'll be in. Yeah. Well, let's talk about Corey now. Let's get to know him a little bit. Corey, tell us about yourself.
Well, I'm a runner for the last few years, like you guys. Sometime 3 or 4 years ago, my wife called me fat, and I was like,
"Nice,
I gotta do something about this."
That's still deep down in your psyche. Isn't
yeah.
it? You can hear that.
Is there a picture of this, Corey fat?
I'm sure there's some pictures.
What'd you weigh?
I don't know, more than 200. So
how tall are you?
5'10".
It's not that bad.
Well, whatever.
I weigh 215. I'm 5'8".
I'm currently more than 200. I'm 5'8".
Yeah, are you calling Scotty fat?
I think you just called me fat.
I was trying to bring it up as lightly as possible through myself. And
it shows up. Where are you from originally? You didn't start off.
I grew up in Crystal Lake in Illinois. It's 45 miles outside the city, and we grew up in the middle of a cornfield. Back then, growing up, I had asthma, quote unquote asthma, making the air quotes. I don't know what that was, but I remember in junior high when we had to run the mile, I got a doctor's note or something. And
did your mom think you had it? And she was being protective of you. It's all,
yeah,
it's
I don't know.
All bullshit.
I don't know what was going on. That's what I think now for sure.
Yeah.
So it wasn't until really my 30s that I got into running, and like any hobby I've taken since then, I sort of take it to the extreme. So I ran a half marathon for fun. We did the Monster Dash in Chicago in 2010, and it was kind of like a fun Halloween thing. All of our birthdays are on Halloween, so we're like, oh, this will be fun, we'll wear some costumes. And I was like, oh, that was cool, what else can I do? Oh, there's marathons, I'll do a marathon. What else do people do? Read some books, and I was like, oh, wait, you can run 50 or 100 miles? And just kind of started seeing if I could do that. So I did a half marathon and then a marathon 6 months later, and then a 50 miler 6 months later, and then a 100 miler 6 months later, and somewhere went back to do a 50K in the mix after doing a 100 miler. But I didn't really step my way up. I just kind of was like, let's just see if I can get this next thing done.
Does your wife like your body now? I mean, when you're like, I've run 100 miles, can you please look at me naked finally?
That didn't work out exactly as I planned it to.
I just wish we could see like a split screen before and after. Yeah. And I bet you it's like absolutely no difference.
Yeah. Corey, to me, is kind of like a hipster. Yeah. Am I right about this?
No. Yeah.
No.
Yes. No, he's wearing a Melanzana from Leadville. And
Leadville, made in Leadville.
He's got a San Francisco running company hat on. Huh. Yeah. He rolled in here with some, what is this, anti-hero.
Well, it's a fancy beer.
It's fancy beer. We'll
but he's kind of, to me, hold on. He's kind of cool without trying to be cool. That's how.
Well, that's even better. That's not hipster. He's just cool.
That's not hipster.
Okay,
I'm just cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
And if you want to know Corey, the one thing that makes him stand out from everybody is he's always wearing this fucking tie-dye weird.
It's not a tie-dye.
It's imagination station something.
Did your wife pick that out for you? Or?
I'll put a picture of this shirt.
No.
That one
was all me. Yeah, okay. we can put the shirt. The shirt's like a picture of this guy who's drawing something on paper, and his head is like exploding, and there's birds and colors, and just kind of
it's a cotton t-shirt.
Yeah.
Thought
and
coming
he,
out of
and
it.
High end. This for every race.
It's my quote unquote lucky trippy race shirt.
Races have you worn it to that kind of made you believe it?
What was
lucky?
The first time this shirt was unveiled?
I didn't wear it at my first 50 miler, but I've worn it every time since. It's not the same shirt. I have like five different versions of it.
But it's the same design.
It's the same design.
Because they make a lot of different shirts.
Did you get a discount on that?
I don't. I should get sponsored by them or something.
Oh, we're going to have a segment on that if I were sponsored.
That would be it.
That's your sponsor right
there.
That's
my sponsor.
Nice.
So the pattern of the shirt is called Study, and it just sort of looks like this kind of thing where, you know, if you just kind of, it's kind of what I'm about. Like, you just think about things and understand how they work. And it's sort of, that's how my philosophy for running is, just kind of like, go try it and really like, explore what you're experiencing and see what you can do.
Is this something you can do without any pharmaceutical assistance? Or
sure.
Or is this like a mushroom stuff?
All it takes is a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Is a sidebar, do either one of you guys have like special outfits you wear for races, or do you just whatever's clean?
I, you know what? I have one 5K shirt. It's the Terrapin 5K. that they didn't actually do the race, but it's got like a Grateful Dead
feel.
Yeah,
I've seen you in that shirt a lot.
I'm always wearing that to races, and it's like even a friend of ours from our running group mocked me with it once, where she took a picture of herself with a 5K shirt on.
Right.
So that was always my go-to shirt, but lately I haven't been wearing it as much.
Well, I have like every single piece of thing that I wear on a race day is like I know what that's going to be every
Are
single time.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I mean, the shirt is because I think the shirt is cool, but like other than that, just like everything has like a functional purpose. And
do you like laid out the night before and everything?
Like, I don't even need to lay it out the night before. Like, I don't have to pack for races. Like, I just know. I don't even have to think about it. Like, I just know what's going to be there.
Just parenthetically, I have this shirt upstairs in my room. Oh, I have it. And I'm waiting for the day where me and Corey can get to the start line.
At the Bear, dude. Let's do it at the Bear.
Oh, maybe. Okay. I'll wear it at the Bear. Side by side, but and I did buy a couple other shirts from them too.
I want to be twins too, or triplets.
Let's do it. It'll
be we'll put the link on the page, and everybody can get the shirt. We could have a imaginary. What is it?
Imaginary foundation.
All right. So what races have you done? What 100 miles have you done?
Let's see. I tried to do like an easy starter 100 miler and a desert 100 miler or warm 100 miler, mountain 100 miler, and winter 100 miler. So the easy one was Umstead, North Carolina. That was my first one. Then I DNF'd Leadville, and then I did Javelina. Since then, I've gone back and done Leadville a couple times. Then I did Beast of Burden in New York, which was just a long, flat, frozen nothingness. And I think that's it. I've finished 500s out of starting 7. I DNF'd Kettle in Wisconsin also.
I was there for that.
That's 5 like out of 7 sounds really good, though, yeah?
It seems Kettle good. Was kind of where I met you in person for the first time, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kettle's where I publicly shamed you.
Yeah, that was pretty good. So I roll into the aid station. And I'm like, it's mile 40 or something. I'm like, you guys, I'm done. I can't. I'm not doing it anymore. Like, my knees don't feel good. I think this is. And he's like, oh, hey, everybody. This guy's knees don't feel good.
No, I'm like, I think what I said is, Corey, you are barely fucking moving yeah. down a flat douche grade trail. No one has ever caused quote unquote permanent damage doing that. Shut up and get back in the race. And then. I swear to God, like 3 minutes later on Facebook, there's a message, or there's a post by him tagging me. It says, just got publicly shamed by Scott Coomer at the aid station. And I said, why don't you get off Facebook and run? But yeah, so
this course, is, and this is before Leadville, right?
This was last, I had finished Leadville in a few hundreds before then, so I was doing.
In my mind, Leadville's like the ultimate. Like that's the hardest one there is.
Nah, Hard Rock is harder than that.
Scotty runs.
It's Leadville's not the hardest, but it's up. It's a good.
Just the elevation alone seems like it's.
Yeah, the elevation slows you down by a good 30% just starting off. What was your?
What's the elevation at Bear in Utah? Was it like 10,000 feet?
It got to 10,000 something.
Yeah, I don't think the elevation. I didn't feel the elevation there compared to when I was in Leadville. But there was a lot of climbing.
What do you guys? How do you guys train for that kind of shit here?
There's not really. I mean, I've tried a few different things. I've tried the. There's an Altolab, which reduces your oxygen intake, and I've tried the tent. And I feel like both of those things, I feel like the Altolab does not really do the same effect as having the difference in the oxygen concentration. I feel like that just like strengthens your breathing muscles or something.
I don't know what you're
So Altolab is like you breathe through this tube, which restricts your airflow, and then as you exhale, it has soda lime to absorb the carbon dioxide, so you can breathe less air, but you're not breathing in more carbon dioxide. I think it just doesn't cause the same adaptations as being.
It's a way to try to get you to prepare for being at 10,000 feet.
Yeah, but I don't. I think it's kind of made up. Like those elevation masks you see at the gym. Like I don't think there's. Like
how about like running up and down hills like that though? That's what kills me.
Yeah, well, running up and down hills is just I spend 4 hours running up and down the same hill at the sledding hill in town.
Oh really?
Yeah.
So you're one. I've never. I always think about doing that for. I'm running Boston in a couple, 3 weeks, and that's what kills me is just the hill. It just like rips my thighs.
One of these weeks, I'm going to host an event in Mount Prospect, which is just 4 hours in the bowl, which is just there's just up and down hill for 4 hours.
Okay,
and
we're all going to
hang out together and do that.
I want to know what Corey's highlight of his running career is, but before he tells us, I just want to tell you that one of the highlights of my running career as a spectator. Was seeing him finish Leadville finally because I had known that he hadn't finished and it was a real emotional moment. There's a great picture of them, And I don't know if that was
I had a lot of friends and crew there that year.
But that was huge to be standing there and to see him walk across that finish line.
So was that it?
He's getting a little choked up right now. Look at him. He's thinking about it.
I don't know that I have a favorite event. I feel like every one of them has had like a deeply. I haven't had a race where I crossed the finish line and was like, whatever, I don't care. Like every time, it's been like in one way or another a deeply emotional experience. Beast of Burden in New York was like just this flat boring as hell course, but it really gets into your head, and you have to just kind of keep going through that. And,
but what's the accomplishment that you're most proud of in your running life?
I don't think that I have a specific one. I think I just, I don't know.
Setting up the technology for the podcast.
Almost getting the podcast tech running, I think, is it.
All right. Well, that brings us to the actual format of the podcast. So we're on mile three, which is segment three, which is the interview.
We're on mile four.
Which is the interview of our special guest. So every week we're going to try to have a guest on the podcast who is an everyday runner and just get to know them. Usually funny people, interesting people. And
sometimes they're like really done up with makeup and stuff.
Yes, yes. Well,
I look good.
This week we don't have anybody that fits those characteristics. So we went out and got Racine.
Can I be the first person to cuss on the podcast?
I said hell already. Yeah, said no. I mean, I think you should. You can drop the first F-bomb.
Fuck you, Coomer.
So we have Racine Lambert today, and Racine's one of everybody's favorite people. She's one of the most upbeat, fun, happy people that you'll ever meet. She's had a few drinks because we're slow.
I had one beer.
But Racine, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from?
I'm from Denver, Colorado, and born and raised. Then I moved to San Diego, California, and then I moved here.
Why?
That's like the opposite of the steps I would take.
I was working in nightclubs, and I came here to work for Walter Payton, and because he owned a bunch of nightclubs, and he wanted me to come out and work.
There's two follow-up questions. One, were you one of his girlfriends?
No, I wasn't, but I knew a few.
And two, what kind of nightclubs were these?
There was one in Schaumburg called 34s, and then Studebaker's, Pacific Club, and America's Bar.
Nice. And how'd you get into running?
Well, I quit smoking in 1998, and then I started with my newfound health, wanted to do something with it to help other people. So I started doing the Avon Walk for Breast Cancer. So I've been doing that for about 15 years. My husband and I have raised over $60,000 for the cause.
Wow.
And when we were out training, we would see people running. And I'm like, how can they be running all this miles? And then I thought, well, maybe we can. And then I remember one morning, it was... who's the one that ran the Chicago Marathon and won? The girl from England. Paula Radcliffe. So we're laying in bed watching her finish the Chicago Marathon, and I said, I want to do that. So I signed us up the next day it opened, and then we just did that.
You and Mike.
Mike, yeah. I always make my husband Mike come with me. He's awesome.
Now, at the time that you signed up for that marathon, had you run any half marathons?
Nope. Nope, we just signed up, and then we started doing 5Ks, half marathons, up to the marathon mark when we knew we were signed up.
He was newly into running as well?
Yeah, he ran a little bit in school, but not that much, and I never ran. I started running in 2003.
So you went from non-running smoker to boom.
Non-running smoker, nightclub.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, my hour, it's kind of hard to get up to go to a race when you're like getting home.
Did you ever meet Walter Payton?
Yeah, I worked for him. So, yes, I did.
you did get a celebrity on here. Oh, well, a celebrity of a celebrity.
And she was a Broncos fan.
I am a Broncos fan. I am a Bears fan because, honorary living here. But
it's literally like the
go Broncos. Most, like I have the two worst people today. Here. I got a Green Bay Packer and a Kansas City guy.
we like to give her a hard time about being a Bronco fan.
Yeah, he came in and threw my Broncos hat in the trash when I was volunteering at Frozen Gnome.
All right, so that did you run that marathon?
Which, the Chicago Marathon?
Yes,
of course I ran it.
How'd you do?
I finished.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And then did you get the bug and go on? Or?
I did. I think I did three or four. Once I get attached to something, then I just keep doing it.
Like Jack Daniels?
Pretty much. Sometimes I visit Jim Beam, but it's usually Jack. But I ran Chicago for 3 years, I think. And then I heard about the Lakefront 50K. And so I said, well, it's only five more miles. So I did that.
What year was that, roughly?
I think 2008, maybe. Well, no, 2006. And then started doing that.
How did you hear about the Lakefront 50K?
I got Runner's World magazine. It was in there or something. Somebody had told me about it.
So
that's just interesting to me because, like, I don't, when I was running marathons, I ran like maybe 15 marathons. I don't ever remember knowing that ultras happened. Like, I remember at one point hearing a guy, there was a guy named Bach who lived around here and ran a Fleet Feet, saying that he ran the 50 mile. And I thought, 50 miles? Who the hell does that? And he said, oh, this is like a marathon and then another marathon. You know,
yeah, so see, I didn't know anybody that had ran it or anything, and I just remember looking at it and saying, this looks like fun, and so I said, why not?
It's just 5 more miles.
It's just 5 well, more now, miles.
Okay, so 50K, I have never run a 50K, actually. A 50K is 5 more miles than a marathon, but what's the real difference?
There isn't. To me, there wasn't, but I'm not a fast runner.
It was a massive difference for me. I wanted to quit at mile 26. because you're going out maybe 5 seconds. For me, it was like 5 seconds per mile slower or something. But it, I mean, it.
So
it
when you say 5 seconds,
you were doing it 5 seconds per mile slower.
Yeah. So it like so it hurts.
God, can you imagine having that kind of throttle?
Yeah, I don't even know. Like, what.
I mean, I'm just yeah. I mean, whatever. It really hurts. It's just that's the only way to describe it. But I can. I mean, by the way, for years I'd never ran faster than like a 4-hour marathon.
See, and I'm nowhere so near that, so yeah. I think I enjoyed it a lot more than he did.
It's kind of a letdown for, like, there's, like, one person out there cheering.
Yeah, but you know what I found? Because for doing that many Chicago marathons, because we did it, I think we've done it 8 times, and it was, like, so nice to be out there on the lakefront and no cowbells,
yeah.
No cheering. Because right. Sometimes when you're, you know, like you're doing a marathon or whatever, by mile 24, you're like, shut the fuck up. So it was kind of a nice break when you ran this. It's like, ah, silence.
Did you do the spring one or the fall one?
I did the fall one for every year for like 5 or 6 times. And then we did this spring run this last year was the first time.
Nice.
And the morning of, my husband and I were going to drive to 63rd Street Beach House. But the spring one starts at Foster Avenue Beach, so we would have been there by ourselves.
This is all in Chicago.
This is all Chicago in Chicago, lakefront. Along the lakefront.
And it's basically the place where most of us have run, or some of us run.
And Flatlanders has they volunteer with a aid station.
Right. Well, the running group that me and Katarina founded, Flatlanders, we have an aid station on the 50K, and we're going to have one at the 50, the spring one as well.
Good. I hope you have Jack Daniels there.
Yeah, we'll have to have Jack Daniels for her.
What's your next race?
The Lakefront 50K.
So you've run it a bunch of times. How do you approach this one? Do you have certain goals?
This one's more of a training run because I'm training again for the Ice Age 50 miler. So I'm doing the Lakefront, and then the next weekend I'm doing Paleozoic and for training. And then
that's
I'm
250Ks.
250Ks. And then I did that last month. I did 250Ks in a row just to get my mental and just to see if I can.
So 2 weekends in a row, you're going to run 50K.
Right. I did it last month, and I'm going to do it this month.
And then the Ice Age 50 mile, is that your first 50 mile?
No. I ran the Des Plaines 50 mile last year was my first 50.
There's probably people listening to this that are marathon runners or 10K runners. They hear you talk about 50 miles and think that you're some sort of a superwoman.
Yeah, there's no. I'm out there a lot longer than most people, but... It's no. I think if you put your mind to it and you have the right attitude towards it, you can accomplish it.
And like one of your favorite shirts is it says.
It's I'm the world's okayest runner. <That's> and awesome. I actually changed into that 5 miles before my finish of the 50 miler, just so I could run in that with my sparkle skirt. So.
Well, and you said you have to work on your mental mindset. What is it that gets you through these long races in terms of your mentality?
I just don't want to quit. I just like sometimes, my dad was a Marine and he was very strong-minded and my mom is too. And he would, every night after work when I was growing up, he'd come home and walk 2 miles every night and come back and then he'd want to take me with him. And I think, I don't know, because he's not with us anymore, but I kind of think he and another friend of mine who used to run with me died, and I think that they're with me, and I feel like if I don't finish, then I'm letting them down too. So that helps me keep it going.
Do you think that you have to have like a special sort of circumstance to get you through these long races, or is this something that you would say anyone can do?
No, I think anybody can do it if you want to do it, and if it's something that you feel like you're a goal that you have? And if even like I've done races where I haven't finished, but I still feel good about it because I got out there and I tried it. And it's like stuff that you guys always say, you know, you don't live unless you try. You can't be great unless you start. And I don't know. I really like being out there. Plus, I know if I finish, then I get to have my Coors Light, my Jack Daniels. Because if I don't finish, then I don't get it.
Now Racine's going to stick around for the rest.
Don't get beer and whiskey.
We're going to keep the guest, the everyday runner, for the rest of the podcast, and they can chime in as much or as little as they want. But before we move on to the next segment, tell me the name of someone that you really think would be a good guest to have on this podcast. One person? Yeah.
John DiAgostino.
Okay. And another one, someone that you don't necessarily have access to, but someone that you would dream to have interviewed on this podcast. Anybody in the whole world.
Anybody in the whole world, alive or dead?
Yes, anybody.
Because just to interview?
To do this interview.
I don't know. So a runner?
Anybody.
Melissa McCarthy. I think she's hysterical. She's heavy, but I think that she could do it. And I think could
talk
her
heavy?
In. I think she could. I think I could talk her into doing it.
I think she's pretty cute.
Let's get her.
All right. So now we're moving on. Why not? She would be very interesting.
She would be interesting.
She's funny. Yeah.
All right. So,
that's how I'm going to be remembered.
So for the next episode, we're going to go into the...
We're number five now.
Episode. I don't even have the lingo down, all right?
You guys babysitter.
Were you expecting someone professional? We're gonna go into the trunk, and we're going to get some junk from the trunk. One or two topics to discuss from the people have submitted on the Facebook page.
Okay.
Where's Corey going?
I don't know where he just Corey just left.
We got Lonnie Kugel button.
Are
we
recording? Are we recording? Yeah, we're going. Oh, okay. Corey went to pee.
Corey's taking a pee break. All right. So I'm taking a random subject out of the grab bag, which we're going to call junk in the trunk, which is offensive on a number of levels. And it
Melissa McCarthy would not be happy with
that. Not to make a Melissa McCarthy joke.
Yeah, but she can move. Have you seen her move? You would probably lick her.
Let's get some video of that.
She probably smells good.
That's for another day.
Here's the topic. Winter running, including wear, gear, methods, and nutrition, etc. So this is, I guess we're coming up at the end of the winter, but the question is, you know, what in particular do you do to make running in the winter better? And maybe I'll start by asking Aaron, because Aaron is, you know, the guy that is the everyday runner, not necessarily by speed, but by distance.
Yeah.
You know,
number one thing, Blake, in Chicago is a man running out on the lake. You got to have something to protect your lower middle parts.
Yeah.
But hopefully nothing that shaves.
Special package.
Because the wind just rips into you. And it's, I mean, like, if your finger gets cold, that's one thing. But if that gets cold, it
that really gets cold?
It hurts for hours.
So
painful.
So what do you use?
The George Costanza shrinkage.
The first time I went out there and I didn't have that, I had to take a glove off and jam a glove down there.
Corey has returned from his bathroom break. We're talking about winter running.
Apropos
clothing
coming back from the toilet,
and Aaron's talking about the problem of the cold special purpose.
Yeah,
so he's
in the winter in Chicago with the wind, you got to protect that more than anything else. And I used to put a glove down there or something, but now like North Face makes like Kevlar fronted underwear you can wear, but that's still not enough. So I just take like a handkerchief and jam it down there.
So just a regular handkerchief,
just like wrap it around.
Have you ever used a hand warmer?
No, that'd but you good. Can. That might be too hot.
Yeah, that might get a little too hot.
You know, I haven't had children yet. I don't want to kill anything down there.
All right. So. Racine, what do you got?
Number two is hand warmers, though.
Because you got the Raynaud's
for your hands.
Disease.
Yeah.
There's two people. You and Kat both have Raynaud's disease.
Raynaud's?
Yeah.
Self-diagnosed, of course.
No, Aaron went to a doctor.
Yeah.
You're self.
I went to a doctor, like a 38-year-old pregnant woman, that said that her first thing she told me was that it was women have it.
The Raynaud's?
The Raynaud's, yeah.
What is Raynaud's?
You're just like, you get bad circulation.
Oh, cool. Yeah, Art has that. It's always needing the hand.
I want to chime in here about winter running. As someone who really does not like the cold, it's just getting out the door. forcing yourself out there and maybe suffering through the first 5 to 7 minutes, which are going to be horrible, but you warm up and just getting it done. And once the warmer weather starts up, you, at least I am just so happy that I spent my winter getting out there and getting my running in.
You know,
I kind of miss it. I like the winter running because the first time I did it, I thought, oh, I'm not going to, you know, I used to train inside every winter. I didn't go out. And then I went out and did a 50K and did it. And then I realized I could run outside. It wasn't that bad. So I think, like you said, just go out and do it.
You know, me and Corey had
one. Yeah, I think that was one of my favorite runs this year so far was the week that it was the worst forecast. I'm going to run as much as I can this week. And me and Scott met up one day, and it was just insane.
We were just, sitting at the office, and it was, 5 o'clock, and I was like, geez, I'll go run. Anybody want to go run with me? And Corey's like, sure, I'll go run with you. And we, made, you know.
I think I was wearing snow pants.
Put together clothes.
Snow pants at the office.
Based on what we had at the office. And I bet by the end, how far do we run? 10 miles maybe?
Yeah, 10-ish.
And then at the end of the run, I remember getting on the subway, and I looked at him, and I said, you know, I'm really comfortable now.
Yeah.
You know, this is perfect.
Yeah, you warm up.
I noticed once it get less than negative 27 degrees, you have to wear something over your eyes because your sweat will freeze your eyelashes together. But negative 25,
doesn't even have
good.
To be negative. I don't know. My eyelashes have frozen shut and zero-ish.
Ski goggles. That's
yeah,
yeah. We had huge ice beards.
Yeah,
snow beards on our face.
I mean, the thing I find with running in the cold is it's like bonus endorphins because your body's trying to stay warm.
Well, the one thing I'll tell you, because I did two winter races this year. I did the Tuscobia 150-mile sled pull race, which I DNF'd, and I also did the Frozen Otter 100K race. You know, the one thing that you really realize is that in the cold, you have to eat more food. And, I noticed...
That sounds like bullshit.
No, really.
That was just like he said. Yeah. Eat food, it warms you up.
I can see where you're coming from, but I can honestly tell you that if you go for an extended period of time in and I'm talking it was minus 12 for 8 hours. And if you're out there in that cold for that long and you don't eat, you bonk 10 times worse. And your fingertips start to get cold. Your body starts to get cold. Katarina at the turkey trot, she recognized that you need more food when you run in the cold too. Cause it was maybe 8 degrees, 10 degrees, but we were outside for 24 hours straight running. So that's one thing that I noticed that you have to do differently. Any other gear I can pull it.
Well, if you're running, if you're going to do trail running and stuff, make sure you have micro spikes or screw shoes so that you can run on ice, you can run on snow, and you get good traction with that.
I didn't buy them this year, and after reading everyone's posts, I finally am convinced to. But every time I've just been like, well, I mean, just sliding around and falling is part of what has to happen when you're running.
That's true, too. Yeah.
But I'm excited to try out.
The micro spikes are amazing.
I have done that for 2 years. I have poo-pooed
spikes. Me too.
And called my wife right now on my cell phone, you said to her, what's the best decision Scott ever made in his life? She's going to say the spikes. That's how much that changed my life.
I think that's a lot of people that didn't want to run out in the winter because they're afraid of falling on ice or something.
Yeah. But, well, and when you wear those spikes, you could literally jump down a sheer icy wall and you're not moving. It's crazy.
I ran that. What was it? The
next sponsor.
The 50K.
Frozen Gnome.
Frozen Gnome. I didn't have any spikes, and that's the one where you have to slide on your butt down a thing. And
yep.
And I was falling all over the place. I don't know where I was going with that. I'm sorry, I went down that alley.
I think you just wanted us all to know that you slid on your butt in the snow.
It really hurt.
Yeah, and you. So he actually peed on the freeway too that day.
Did I?
You were at a 10. We had to pull over.
That happens.
We had this rule that you can't just say I have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
You have to give it a number no matter what. So when we're running.
Oh, so 1 to 10.
Yeah. So you don't just say I have to pee.
If you're at a 10, you better stop the car.
Well, usually it's on the trail. Right?
I'm usually at a 10 when I'm using the bathroom along the trail for the number 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I had the worst experience at Miwok last year. I have this routine that I follow, and I didn't this time. And I ended up waiting in the line at the porta potty for it must have been at least 20 minutes. So the first 2 or 3 miles of that race are just straight up these switchbacks. And then I had to wait in line for 20 minutes.
Why didn't you just pee on a bush?
Well, he had said number 2.
Yeah.
Oh, poop.
I don't
I was at a 10, and I had no choice but to wait for a 1 porta potty line.
I think that's like a unique thing to runners and ultra runners is that we could spend an ungodly amount of time talking.
That's
about
like a whole segment. Exactly. That's a whole show. That's yeah. not even just a segment.
It's crazy.
All right, any more winter clothing things?
No. All right, we're moving on to the next segment anyway, but I think we'll go one
grab bag's done.
We'll go one more grab bag. All right, let's see. Random. Oh, it's winter gear. So
really been there, done that. Yes. Somebody really wants to know about winter
gear. Scott just wants to talk about how much winter gear he has, I think.
Elevation Trail trucker hat.
Why'd you write it down twice? Is what I'd like to know.
He just wants to talk about his setup. Tell us about your winter gear, Scott.
Inspiring moments during races. Someone submitted that. So I think it's like, what was a moment when you were really inspired in the middle of a race?
One thing that I can think of is
what happened?
They're just laughing because I'm making some funny faces.
Corey's talking about his inspiration.
Yeah, go ahead, Corey.
I mean, this isn't like a huge personal one. I just sometimes when I see people's kids at races, that makes me really feel like, oh, that's a cool thing that there's some kids out there. You know, it'd be like randomly at like mile 35 of a 50 mile or something. Like, how did they even find their way out here? Like, what kids have the patience to like stand around in the woods and cheer for 2 hours?
I've never seen Corey's kids at a race.
Yeah, ever. You won't.
I've seen Kat's kids at a race.
Well, for me, I have this memory during the Bear 100 where I was panicking a little bit about not making the cutoff. You had to finish that race in 36 hours. And so I was trying to do all these calculations in my head to see if I'd finish. And I was running with this man, you know, just someone I met on the trail. And I was asking him, okay, are we going to make it? Are we going to make it? How about this time? How about that time? And he just looked at me and said, you need to just forget about that and enjoy the process. Enjoy the trail, enjoy the run. And I put all those thoughts about the time and if I was going to make it into the back of my head, which I did pull out later, but I just tried to sort of be in the moment and enjoy this beautiful place. And I really thank this man for saying those words. Because
do we know who the man is?
No, I have no never idea got his who the man cool. is. But
he's Jesus.
There actually was no man.
But it really is something that I knew.
Yeah, was there really a man?
It was a real man.
What mile were you on?
Yeah.
I think it was probably like mile 60.
Okay,
and
so that could have been real.
Could have been real.
It was real. And
if you would have said 80, I'd question the validity of that.
Anyway, I think about that because I am doing this in order to enjoy being out there and enjoy the trails, and I use that as a reminder from this random man.
I had
Yeah, go ahead.
I had one when I was doing the North Face 50K last year, and I was real nervous because it was one of my first, like, Kettle Moraine hard trail. That's me. That's a hard trail race. So I get to this one aid station. I ask how long, you know, what mile am I at? And they said 11, and I should have been at like 16 to 17. So I got very down, very depressed, and I love Neil Diamond. So I always listen to Neil Diamond.
Oh my God, we found a common ground.
I know. So that's like my song to go to. I don't listen to music while I run.
10 junk miles love connection right there. Aaron just looked at her like
I get to this one part of the road, and here comes my husband, who is amazing, driving the car, and out of the huge loudspeakers, got Cracklin' Rosie going down the street.
Awesome. Oh my God.
He's got the map, and I said, awesome. I'm not going to make it. I'm only at mile 11. I should be at 16. He goes, no, you're at 18. They don't know what they're talking about because it was the stop for the marathon.
Oh, yeah.
They told me wrong, and I just started going, oh, my God. That was just the best.
So somebody actually lied to you.
They did.
It was an inspirational
moment. Well, they
somebody
thought I was running. They were thought I was running. The inspiration part is the Neil Diamond.
People lied to you in a race. But it was
yeah, that was kind of hard, though. It's like, I wonder how many other people that lady told. That,
well,
like,
let me ask
maybe
you this. Every time you hear Cracklin' Rosie, do you remember that moment now?
I do. It's and like we listen to it. I listen because I don't listen to music or anything when I'm running. So I listen to it on the way to races. So it's in my head because it's very catchy.
So on the way to every race, you're blasting
Neil
Diamond.
Exactly.
Oh, Aaron's immediately going to ask for a ride. He's going to go to everything. You have to understand, I went to his house in Kansas City, stayed with him, and 8 or 9 in the morning. I come
Neil
out
Diamond poster in the bedroom.
His dad. I mean, all he does is make meat. He sends me cases of meat for holidays and things. But they got the Neil Diamond cranking in the living room, yeah. And it was just like
vinyl.
It's a way of life, yeah. In the German family.
Yep,
Love on the Rocks.
I grew up to it.
We saw Neil Diamond, and I swear to you, a woman in a wheelchair stood in the middle of the America song.
He's Jesus.
Today.
Now, to be fair, she was in a wheelchair. She was an obese wheelchair.
Yes. She was like rascal fat.
Like rascal fat.
Not like, she didn't need the rascal.
That actually brings me to my most inspirational moment, to be honest. This was like 2004, 2005, back when I was 24, 25 years old, 200 pounds or so, being passed by, I think that marathon in Chicago was passed by a blind woman on a leash. They can't see. Passed by a one-legged person, and then finally passed by a guy in a cow suit.
The cow suit.
That's
guy.
The worst thing, you know. I mean, it's one thing if old people pass you, but they'd be passed by the guy in the
and
cow
that
suit.
That inspired you to do what?
I guess
wear
it was
a cow
five
suit.
More years.
It sounds more like a kick in the crotch.
That's when I bought a cow suit.
You make a very good point, Scotty.
But was that like something that inspired you to be faster at the marathon?
Years later, it did. Because that's depressing.
How many years later did it take?
Like 5 or 6 more years.
Yeah,
now, that reminds me of at the beginning of Leadville.
Like
in
bad stories, don't I?
At the beginning of Leadville in 2013, I remember hearing like, okay, there's some potholes up to the left. There's a group of people. You're going to want to go around to the right. And then we saw this guy coming past us, and he was wearing this vest that said visually impaired runner. I'm like, wow, that's ambitious. And as we came up 6th Street on the way back in, there was that same guy, and he was had a different pacer at the time and still had his visually impaired runner vest on. And I mean, there's some crazy sections of that course where you're like hopping from boulder to boulder. And I don't know to what extent visually impaired means, but that is fucking badass.
I mean, like legally blind, that's not the same thing as totally blind, right? I mean, I don't know.
Maybe you could see shadows or...
I mean, but whatever
still,
the case, it's
way,
hard enough with like full good
for
normal
yeah,
eyesight.
For
I mean,
people.
Yeah, I mean, you DNF'd as a full blown
yeah,
visual.
I have fine eyesight and I DNF. Yeah, mean, that is some impressive shit.
I think for me, one of the things that inspires me, and I don't want to get choked up and emotional, is I always think about, you know, it started the first time I had a friend, Aaron knows him, named Eaton, who had a compartment syndrome, and for a while we thought like he was going to lose his leg or he was never going to run again. And for a long time, I thought about him. Like whenever I was running and things were getting hard, I always think, you know, he would give anything to be able to be in this race right now. And that kind of brought me back. And now it's our friend Alfredo, who's been diagnosed with ALS, that, you know, like he didn't know when his last race was. He didn't know when his last run was. You know, he might not ever get to run again, you know, and that we don't know. You know, so a lot of times when I need inspiration or I need to inspire myself, you know, I think about that and just think about the fact that one of my heroes, Jimmy Dean Freeman, he always says to remember that this is something that we're inflicting on ourselves for sport, you know, that we're out there and we should be grateful that we're able to do this, not thinking, you know, woe is me and this sucks and I'm tired and things like that. So, you know, I keep a little picture of him with me in my fanny pack or I have him attached to the sled and I, you know, take that with me wherever I go. So that's a good reminder to me. Inspirational moments. That's it. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to bring everybody down. Maybe we all need to do a shot and like move forward into the next.
But I mean, definitely when you're out running and you're in the middle of a race or out in the, it's 5 a.m. on a Tuesday and you're by yourself, it's 25 under 0 degrees outside and it's like you're on the moon. You need to find something, don't you?
Yeah.
It's excruciating.
Well, and I mean, I think in the beginning it was, you know, maybe you want to lose weight. Maybe you want to finish a marathon. Maybe you want to raise money for a charity or something like that. And those were the easy runs. But, you know, it's like that kind of goes back to the reason why we wanted to have the podcast. It's the I'm in okay shape. My training's fine. The race isn't for a while yet. I really don't have any good reason to inspire myself to get off the couch. You know, that's the hardest day, you know, and especially if the weather's crappy and so on and so forth.
I think for me, recent inspiration is I'm just trying to see what I could possibly do. I feel like there's a certain window you have. Apparently not. I thought when you got married and have kids, then you can't run anymore. But I thought it was over. But maybe that's not true.
For me, it's just registering for the next race to get myself going. Like then now I have a new goal,
mm-hmm.
And it's not like okay, you know, I don't have anything to do. I have to train for this.
So has there ever been a point where you not registered for a race? Where you don't have a next race.
I think I've always
I used to do that, but I don't do that anymore because every time I try, like, oh, I have a month off and then something pops up. Oh, I'd like to do that. With ultra running, you have all these cool races and all these places to go. There, you know, and
I mean, Corey always has a next race, but people need to understand. Corey registers for like 50 races a year. He shows up for like 10. He's the king of the DNS.
No longer.
Oh, you didn't hit the button?
Consider that I did.
Okay, hit the button.
That's from my sister's karaoke machine. She's like 13 years younger than me, and we got it for her when she was a teenager.
Only you.
All right, so the next segment I have listed is, it's called If I Was Sponsored. And the idea is, who would be your dream sponsor and why? And it could be both running and non-running. What?
I'm kind of like gassy over here. Is that being picked up on the mic?
That's because there was a lot of pizza and a lot of adult beverages leading up to this. The technology setup took a little bit longer than we thought. This is the first time, so but it's going to get better.
We're recording right now?
Yeah. Are you okay, though? Can we move forward? So I guess for Aaron, GasX is the first one. If I was sponsored. Trying, he's doing an ultrasound with the microphone. Aaron,
I'm trying to think who
it would be your dream. I know right now mine would be that Arc'teryx. You know, yeah. I mean, I've been buying every single thing that they make, and although it's really, really expensive, every single thing is high quality. I've been buying jackets and all kinds of other things, and then I also discovered the Outlet Mall on the Illinois Wisconsin border. It's a Salomon Arc'teryx.
Have you been there?
Yes.
Is there stuff on sale, or is it?
Yeah, it's everything from last season at half price.
Wait, who are they cares? The same company? Yeah. Salomon and
Arc'teryx. I don't know. They might be owned by the same company.
Interesting.
But
if
that
you're sponsored by them, you should know that.
Yeah.
Well, if I was sponsored by them, would. I'd probably find out about it, right?
Now, you love Arc'teryx because you've gotten really into these winter races. Can you wear stuff from Arc'teryx for other seasons?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I just bought running shorts by them. They have running shirts. They have all kinds of summer stuff, too. But, you know, I discovered them through that. That I just bought their shorts, the running shorts, and they're really cool. I showed them to Racine before the podcast.
He's shown me the shorts 4 times.
Well, you know,
I only got one, so
do you remember the old race ready shorts that had that, like, mesh along the whole back that you could? It has that concept. So you could put something really big back there too. So that would be my, like, my functional dream sponsor would be that. I don't know who my non-running sponsor would be. Maybe something food related. Maybe Burger King.
Starbucks.
Burger King. Well, for you, it's Starbucks. Total. Aaron has discovered the latte at the age of
34.
He's been no caffeine his whole life, yeah. Basically.
I'm the same way. I just last too. Year caffeine.
Cat no doesn't. Caffeine. She doesn't do caffeine. She's got 2 kids.
She still doesn't do caffeine.
I've drank 1 cup of coffee in my entire life.
What about
and I'm 42.
Gels?
Yeah. What about during a race? It seems like overnight.
Yeah. Sometimes overnight I'll drink caffeine. A Coke, but on a daily basis, no. Aaron, before the podcast, Aaron was trying to convince me that I need to try latte. So I don't know. Maybe I'll change.
It's been different since he discovered the latte.
Yeah, I'll have to try this. We'll see what happens. No more afternoon naps.
Well, so during an ultra, you don't drink caffeine.
Maybe I'll have a few sips of Coke if they have them. By the time I get to the aid station, sometimes there's not much left. But yeah, I'll drink some Coke at the aid stations, but not normally on an everyday basis.
So who would be your sponsor?
Well, I guess I would take a shoe sponsor would be great. I mostly wear Hokas, mostly Hokas, but you know, I could probably work with any shoe type if they were giving me free ones.
So if like Mr. New Balance showed up tomorrow and said, "Hey, we want to sponsor you," you'd have no problem pitching all your shoes and just going all New Balance.
I would try it. Sure. Why not? Maybe, I don't know, United or Southwest Airlines would be a good sponsor.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
You know, that's the problem. There's all these races that I'd love to do out West and, you know, you have to pay for airline tickets, so.
Do you know how much faster you'd be if you did caffeine? I'm serious.
No, because I do caffeine.
But I mean, because you have like no tolerance built up.
Oh, right. Well, I know they do say that, that if you don't do caffeine, then you're in the race and you try it, it's going to have a better effect than for most people. So,
like in a marathon, I'll do like 7 gels.
With the caffeine in them?
25 milligrams, yeah.
Mm. Like I'm
cheating. It feels like, because you take one of those and you're just instantly awake and you're faster and you feel good and you get another half an hour. With.
But now, has that changed since you've become a latte addict?
I haven't noticed my... Now,
Corey's laughing. I'm totally serious. Yeah. He did not drink any coffee, caffeine, anything. Yeah. And now he's like 2 or 3 lattes a day. Lattes become like a part of his life.
I think it's the milk, though, maybe. But yeah, we got kind of off the thing with the
sponsor. Well, yours is Starbucks.
Sponsors.
Yeah. Right, so.
Starbucks? What about an athletic
probably company? Like the North Face? Because that's such nobody really knows that company very well in Chicago.
Aaron is as bad at the North Face as I am with the Arc'teryx. Yeah. He'll be wearing the hat, the shirt, the jacket, the pants,
Scotty's
the shoes.
Called me out when we head out for a trip. I got a backpack and a coat and a thing, and he's like, you have too much on.
I like the North Face a lot, too.
Yeah.
North Face is good.
I just sent them back a pair of running shorts that I must have washed, with the worst detergent you can, and threw them in the dryer on high, and I was like, this thing's fell apart. And then they just sent me a new... They sent me a gift card for a pair.
You know what would also be a good sponsor for Corey? Would be Leadville.
Yeah. They really should sponsor me.
I have never met anyone that loves Leadville as much as him.
Smart will too, though.
I'm breaking up with them. They didn't let me in this year.
Yeah, well, he's going to do the Colorado 200 instead. So.
What changed about Leadville? Why didn't you get in this year?
Oh, they had a
lottery.
Switched to a lottery this year, yep.
Everybody's doing lotteries lately.
So how many years in a row have you gone to Leadville?
Well, I did 3 years in a row, and I didn't finish the first one, and then did the next two, and then I was like, after I did two and kind of had a good feel for it, I was like, I'm going to do one of these 10-year things. I want to just come here every 10 years. I've met a lot of people in this place over the last few years. Like, it's going to be my jam. And then,
so then they never gave any compensation to people who did it previously?
If you had done it 9 times and you were going on 10, you could get in the 10th one.
Oh.
Yeah. Which is like 3 people. Okay, that's cool that they were nice to those guys, but or ladies, but you know.
How many people got selected to run?
I don't know. They
don't disclose
$2 billion company. They don't.
Oh, we don't know the details.
Like that. Yeah.
I mean, I know in our running group there were maybe 6 or 7 people that applied, and 3 people got 10. In. Yeah.
3 people? I thought just 3.
No, it was Shelly Cook, Ethan, and Rachel.
So who are?
Oh, Rachel got in.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good.
Who do you want your sponsors to be, Corey?
Let's see. Running sponsor. I mean, I guess North Face would be good, but I like the Ultra shoes. Non-running, probably the Fresh Baked Dispensary in Boulder.
That's adult beverages or adult foods?
Adult edible things.
Pastries.
Special cookies.
Yes.
Seen?
Well, non-running is easy. Jack Daniels. But I think Hoka, I can never say it, and I want him to be my sponsor.
Yeah, who here can pronounce the whole brand name properly?
Hoka One One.
Wow.
Hoka One One. See, if somebody says it first, then I can get it. And I also think Flatlander should, too, because I always buy more items from them than anybody else.
Every order,
so
I
that would
screw
be a
good
sponsor.
It's like where we should do a little plug.
I always screw up
something
from Racine, but it's just like the law of averages because she orders like 10 things. The last order, I had to reorder like.
But it's cheap
stuff.
Cheap
stuff.
Price. Good,
that's nice.
Good
thanks,
stuff.
Thanks, Racine.
Cheap
I pride
price.
Myself on going out to find
cheap
the cheapest stuff.
Price.
Available.
Good quality.
Speaking of shoes, I'm curious because I go through a lot of shoes. How many pairs of shoes do you guys go through like in a year, do you think?
Oh, God.
Well, what's weird is my shoe thing just like keeps expanding, and then I never really like
mine
wear
too.
Out any of them.
Yeah.
I just sort of like,
I just
now
started
like
that this last year.
Pairs
I've got
around
a
them.
Whole
thing yeah.
of shoes.
What do you guys do with all your old shoes? You just
they're
keep
just still
keep
there.
Them.
Sometimes I rotate them in again. Or
yeah. And then a lot of my older pairs, I'll do the screw shoes in those for the winter.
Am I the only person that has trouble letting go of a pair of shoes?
No, I have a closet full of them.
But like I can't throw them away. For some reason, I keep thinking I'll put laces in them. I'll use them for walking the dog.
There's charities for that.
Well,
too,
I'm a lot better
because
I think that homeless people could use them.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm better than you is what I'm trying to say. Because you're like you think you can walk with the dog and I'm thinking about giving them to somebody, but I never do. They're just stacked up in my house.
I think for me it's just that I bought this thing. It was kind of expensive, and I have all these memories with it. And I just feel it's just hard to let it go. I know this is how hoarding starts.
Yeah.
But
did you see there's people that will for baby shoes, they cast the shoes. They'll do that with your running shoes.
Of course.
What are you talking about?
The bronze, your shoes. Hoka, so you could have your shoes sitting there bronze.
my old shoe?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Both shoes what the hell bronze. Am I gonna do with that? And then you could sit there and put that my first 50 miler or my first 100 miler, and they're bronze and they're there forever.
This goes into like a whole different
scene. They'll be next to your dead cat paw imprint.
Running people will pay for anything.
They do. These
half marathon people pay for anything.
Oh, come on now. Don't look down your nose. I'm going to run a half marathon next month.
So. I'm running that too.
Talking about people that, for instance, Scotty and I did the Las Vegas Marathon a couple, 3 months ago.
Talk about.
And all the half marathon people
money.
There, they'll buy anything.
Yeah, there was a lot of consumer products at the half marathon. All right. Well, that's it for if I was sponsored.
How many more seconds
are you in a hurry?
I'm worried about Katrina.
All right.
Worried about getting home myself.
Next, favorite race discussion.
Think
what
about running home.
Was your favorite race? The it doesn't have to be your best performance. It doesn't have to be, just whatever race in your past that you look at and you say, this was my favorite race that I ever ran. Aaron.
Whew.
It's got to be Boston.
Milwaukee.
Oh.
Was it Milwaukee?
Yeah, the Milwaukee Marathon.
Yeah. A year before, I had run a marathon in New York, and I think my time was 4 hours and 45 minutes. This was 2011, and that was the marathon I decided I needed to either stop running or lose weight. So the Milwaukee Marathon was 1 year later, exactly, and I ran a 3:02.
So that was where you qualified for Boston.
I qualified for Boston. I think at one point in my life, Scotty said that you said I would never be able to qualify for Boston or something.
No, I never said that.
Well, you said something like it's impossible. Like even that year, like halfway through the year, you thought it was maybe impossible
for me.
Yeah, there were points where in my mind, my inspiration was you. There's no way I can do this, and it just happened that time.
But so yeah. that's the one that was the best race that you ever had.
The best race I've ever had. Nice. Yeah. I think I was kind of high at the end. I was like tingling.
Did you have some of Corey's treats?
Yeah, like first base.
you just feel so like everything feels so good that you're like the world slowed down and you feel really fast.
I mean, I think I speak on behalf of everyone from Milwaukee when I say that just being in Milwaukee makes everyone feel that way.
Wait a second, I need to know something. You felt good like in the last 5 miles of the marathon. I've never felt that feeling.
Maybe you're not trained well enough.
Oh.
Maybe you need caffeine.
Yeah, there you go. Maybe you need a latte. Mile 20.
I think Chicago last year, I felt really good too. Just high. Just like, it's legitimately that runner's high and inspiration.
I'm going to side with Aaron on this too, because I'm going to say in that Kenosha marathon that we did last fall, that was my fastest marathon I ever ran.
You guys all PR'd,
yeah.
Right?
I felt really good in the last 5 miles. Not only because I felt like I was, feeling good physically, but then also for being well-trained, just passing people.
Yeah, you're just
in the last 5 miles because you're seeing people just dying on the side of the road, and then here comes the big guy. Nobody likes to get passed
by me. Chicago marathon, I passed the chick who was in the Chicago magazine. Like she was, featured as, the top woman. I feel really good about passing women.
And that kicked you?
That's probably deep down something wrong with me.
Yeah, we might have to have a psychology segment.
Like you shouldn't feel that.
That's a whole other podcast.
Did I beat the top girl? Am I in the top three women? There's something wrong.
Well, you can't tell me that there aren't some elite or sub-elite men that's their whole standard is I want to beat every woman in the race.
Yeah, the guys that are the 2-3
guys.
I don't think that's
unique.
Not something I've ever thought of.
But they're probably out for 100 milers too. Guys that they just want to make sure that they don't have a woman beat them.
Yeah,
I am always in the back, so women always beat me at everything. Okay, Racine, favorite race ever.
My favorite race ever probably has to be the very first Chicago Marathon I ran because that's the one I trained for the hardest. I looked to the most. I was most nervous about, and I did it. And so I'll still have that feeling crossing the finish line and breaking into tears and just saying, I did a marathon.
Was your husband with you at the finish line?
He actually beat me. That was the bad part of the race.
Well, he didn't want to get beat by a girl.
Well, no, because we had the same pace pretty much. Or actually, I was faster than him at that point. But the 5 mile mark, where you can stop and use the facility or whatever by Lincoln Park. Well, we thought we would. He thought I waited, and I thought he waited. He took off to try to catch me, and I was still behind him, so whatever. But that was just a really good feeling, knowing that I could run that. I mean, that was, you know, you say favorite or whatever, and that's one, but I think it's every first. Every first is my favorite.
Hold on, hold on. Back up for a moment. Are you and Mike competitive with one another?
No, not at all. No, no. It's just that I'm competitive, and I was pissed that he beat me.
So you're not competitive with each other. You're just competitive with him. Does he know that you're competitive with him?
He knew because he knew I was pissed. But it wasn't his fault. I knew I could beat him.
I mean, he went to the bathroom an hour ago.
I know.
We haven't seen him since.
He's sleeping on the couch out there.
He doesn't seem to care that much.
He cares. He does a lot of this for me.
So wait, we're talking about our favorite race?
Yeah.
You know, I had already talked about the bear, but I actually, my favorite race was one that I wasn't running. I was
it's
got to
be a race you're running. You got to be running.
Okay, let me just share my story here. So I was running, but I was running as a pacer. And it was the Superior 100, and I was pacing a couple friends. And it was just such a cool experience to see with a clear eye what people go through.
Can you explain pacer just a little bit for people?
Sure, sure.
Not
so
ultra?
In a lot of these long ultras, the runners are able to have someone pacing them for a certain portion of the race.
So are you like trying to make them go fast enough?
Well, you just want to be there as a support, keep them company at night, possibly, you know, keep them motivated so that they don't DNF. And in this particular case, both of these guys had a great history of many, many races, but you know, they needed someone to be pushing them a little bit and helping them out and taking care of them. And one of the guys, Tony, he had tried running this race 4 times. This was his 5th attempt at the Superior 100, and it was just such an amazing feeling to get him across the finish line.
Yeah, that was a big deal to get him.
That was the only time I ever cried at the end of a race, and it wasn't my race, it was their race, and there was just something about seeing him and his buddy Mike finish together that was just unbelievable.
His buddy Mike had his own struggles that day, didn't he?
Mike had a lot of struggles, and maybe someday we'll have him in here to talk about that.
Self-inflicted struggles. He decided that it was a good day to, I don't know how to delicately put, shave his balls.
I don't know if we should be bringing this up. The poor guy's not even here.
Was it the day before or the day
after? I think like 4 people are going to listen to the podcast.
Razor burn?
I think chafage.
Yeah, he was in bad shape.
As a big guy, chafage. I mean, chafage is real.
Well, he also got really tired at one point and tried to take a nap. I mean, there were a lot of different issues going on.
You saw some tears out there, didn't you?
I did. I did. Grown men crying.
How does it make you feel when you watch a grown man cry?
You know, we're talking about like a guy that's at least a foot taller than I am, much bigger. And,
this is a guy that if there was ever a bar fight, I'm standing immediately behind.
Well, you know, I just needed. Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I needed to find out what he needed. And at the time, all we could come up with is he needs some Advil. I ran ahead on the trail.
Did you think maybe hug at some point?
What?
Hug?
I think I patted him on the back.
Okay.
I'm feeling really uncomfortable discussing this. I feel like maybe this is something that should stay on the trail.
What happens on the trail stays on the trail.
My whole point was that helping those guys and seeing what people go through with a clear eye was really an awesome experience. I'd recommend, you know, pacing someone to anybody out there. It's just a really cool feeling, especially when you're able to help them make it to the finish line. So that was my favorite, and I'm going to go back this year to run it myself.
Corey? I mean, I find it really awesome that your favorite is that it was helping somebody else. It makes me feel bad about all my stories are sound like shit.
You're a selfish asshole.
Oh, I did this, and then I did that.
And I'm by glad the way, I'm going last.
By the way, I have paced one person, Scotty, and all he's done is made fun of by my inspirational words to him. I've now been used against me.
No, you got that was inspirational when you got me to the finish line. Okay. That was.
He did a good pace. He was funny.
He was, and it was funny because I had two pacers. I had one who didn't know the trail, and then I had Erin who had just run the marathon, and she was saying to me, "This is Karen." She said, "Oh, Scotty, you got what was it, 3 hours to go 7 miles? This, you got this in the bag. And Aaron's on the other side shaking his head. He's like, this is going to be rough.
It's going to be tight.
It's going to be really
tight. That's what you want to hear right then, right?
I'm doing the maths. And and there's pavement ahead. I know we're going to hit pavement. And Scotty's like, where's the fucking pavement? I'm like, oh, we're almost there.
I just wanted to get off that trail. When are we going to get off this trail?
Speaking of doing the math, have you guys ever successfully done the math when you're late into a race? Like every time I like replay it so many different times,
every
and I can never,
time.
I never like, no, I can't do it, or yes, I can do it. So I was like, I don't know. I guess I'll just keep going. I don't know.
Well, case in point, we did a workout today on the Swallow Cliff stairs. And everyone kept saying, what number are we on? What number am I on?
You
they don't know.
People had pebbles that they were putting up there. I was like, well, if I can't count to 10. But then you forget because you're counting the stairs and then you're counting how many times.
The first time Alfredo went to the Swallow Cliff stairs, he picked up all the pebbles and started throwing them. He's like, what is all these rocks up here? We all kind of walked away. And I'm like, So what was your favorite race, Corey?
Oh, I don't know. I think I was saying earlier, I don't really have a favorite race. I just sort of, each one of them is a good experience. I guess the most recent race I did was Leadville of last year. And I rolled my ankle pretty seriously. Well, even before that happened, at mile 38 on the way into Twin Lakes the first time, I was just walking down the hill and it just took forever. It's a really long descent. And I was like, I'll just quit here today. It's not my day. And a buddy of mine passed me, and I was like, I'm done, dude. He's like, oh, good luck, whatever. I get in the aid station, and it's like, I'm just stopping for today. And Jennifer Leslie was there, and then one of the aid station workers came up to me and was like, well, why don't you just see if you can get to the next aid station? And I was like, no, I'm done. I'm not. He's like, just today is not my day. So I sat down in a chair for a while, and like 8 minutes later, I was like, yeah, maybe I can get to the next aid station. And of course, I did get to the next aid station, and then I was on my way back down Hope Pass and really rolled my ankle badly at mile 52, I think. And at that point, I already knew. I was like, all right, if I got through this before and I'm still going, like, I'm just going to keep going. And I kept going.
Cool.
So I think that was probably... That was probably
how many times do you fall like a 100-mile race?
It's a few times every time.
Like 10?
five to 10.
Is it more in the beginning or is it at the end? Or does it matter?
There's always something. Like in the beginning, you're overconfident. Later, you're tired. Like there's no...
Scotty told me this when he started for doing those. And he's like, you're going to fall a lot. And I'm like, it's because you're old and you can't see. Like this is... But the one... I've done the two races and the one I fell like three times. And it hurts. You're by yourself. You're running full speed and you bounce like, I mean, you're out like Superman and then you bounce and there's nobody around and it just, you feel like you're a 5-year-old kid that fell. It's excruciating. That's why I hate it. Continue. Sorry.
Do you use handheld water bottles? Those are good.
No.
If you have that, it makes the falls a lot less worse because you can kind of
hand on the water bottle.
Or the more you fall, you learn the kind of tuck and roll technique.
Yeah.
If there's a place to tuck and roll though.
But that's a huge difference between running on the road and running on the trail. That's like a major difference. It's just,
yeah, I mean, I guess you wouldn't.
You
even
never
really
fall
consider
on the road. I think I've fallen one time in like 15 years running on the
road.
Thanks
for breaking that down for us.
Yeah.
Big difference.
Please.
All right. So now we're on the final segment, final mile. This is mile 10. This is the kind of the wrap up. And I mean, I hope that people got something out of it. I hope people enjoyed it in some way. We're going to do more of these with more people, and we have some other interviews lined up and some more ideas. But I think that for this last segment, what I want to kind of talk about is what are our plans this year? What's next? What is the next 6 months? What are we working on? What's our training plan? Things like that. Now, for me, I have this 3 days of Silamo race coming up in Arkansas.
Kat's doing that too, by the way.
Katarina's going to be there too, yeah. 50K, 50-mile, 20K, 3 days in a row. And then that's part of like a big training block leading up to the Pottawatomie Trail 100, followed by the Indiana Trail 100 2 weeks later. So I have...
You're doing all that?
I have my work cut out for me in the next 6 weeks, and hopefully I can be successful.
Damn.
But so like right now, the name of the game is try and get as many miles in as I can, try and, you know, eat right, move forward, try and get this done. But the big picture for me for this year is the Angeles Crest 100, which I couldn't go to last year because of an injury. And that's the one, like if you said, what do you want to do this year? The one thing I want to do is I want to finish that race, get that buckle. Katarina's going to come and pace me. That's the big, that's the whole enchilada for me this year.
So do you look at these other races sort of as training runs leading up to Angeles Crest, or are they, do they all stand alone as important? Oh, I'm sorry for the pause, but Aaron has a creature in his stomach. Do you look at these as training runs?
I don't know what that means with the training run. You know, I think I'm running these races, and I think running these races is part of the whole process.
I'm not a big fan of the training run talk. I feel like a lot of times at races, everyone is just, like, you'll see people who are downplaying the current race that you're doing. Oh, I'm training for this run around the moon we're doing. Or something.
Right.
It's just like, come on. Like, why can't you just have a good time with this race?
Right. So if I go to Potawatomi and I just suck and it takes me like 40 hours to finish, then my cop out is, well, it was a training run for Angeles Crest. No, I'm going to try and do a good job. I'm going to try and finish. I'm going to try and finish within the cutoff. And it's not a training run. It's just, it's a race that I'm using as part of this whole year's worth of scheduling.
So maybe the only difference is that, like, you won't necessarily taper for these races that are coming up.
I don't have a taper
versus for Angeles, you'll maybe think more about a taper.
Scotty doesn't taper for anything.
No, I don't really taper. But I think the only difference is mentally. And I think the approach to the race is going to be very different. You're going to see a very nervous, excited, anxious Scotty at Angeles Crest, whereas at Potawatomi, I'm looking forward to spending some time on the trails with my friends and the family reunion aspect. And it's more about the experience than it is about the accomplishment. Yes, I want to get the belt buckle at the end. Yes, I want to, you know, finish within the time zone. But, you know, it's more about the experience than anything else. Whereas AC, I'm taking a very different approach. So Corey, tell us about what does your year look like? What's next for you?
Let's see. I only have a few races lined up for this year, trying to reduce my DNS to finish ratio. Quad Rock 50 in Colorado is coming up in May.
Is that 50 mile or 50K?
50 mile. And then I have the Bear at the end of September. Bear 100. After all you guys went out there last year and I saw the pictures and heard the stories, I decided I want to do that.
I'll be out there with you.
And then as a training run for the Bear, I'm gonna do a Colorado 200 in July.
You just did 5 minutes of material about how training runs things bullshit. Now you're doing
all right, so the real
it's
thing
a 200 mile training
and it's on tape.
We literally have that on tape. And
Maybe he's having some of the brownies this afternoon.
Why? Hold on a second. Why did you decide to bump up the distance to double it and go for 200 miler?
I don't know why. And I was just joking about the training run thing. Like, Colorado 200 is my main thing that I'm focusing on this year.
Oh, awesome.
I feel like when Tahoe 200 came out last year, I don't know what it was, but just something about that just really captivated me, and I didn't feel like I was ready to do that as a runner yet, and I feel like I am now.
What are you doing
just
differently?
The 200 distance. Okay. I don't know. I think it was after last year when I did Leadville. I did it by myself. I didn't have a crew or pacers. I didn't really put any extra effort into it. I didn't have a Leadville specific training plan. I just was kind of like, okay, I know this course. Like, I'm just gonna go do it. And it just like worked out. And I was like, all right, if I can just go do that race and it's just something that I'm used to doing, like, I can probably try 200 now. So I think that, if I had gone through that before, I probably would have signed up for Tahoe 200 the first time. And I like Colorado, and so I...
Have you thought in your mind what you're going to be thinking at mile 125?
I have no idea. That's
the kind of stuff that I think about.
That is what I like.
Keeps me up.
That's what gets me excited about it. It's just like, what is mile 180 like? Or what's mile 150 like?
Now, are you accepting applications for pacers and crew right now?
I think I'm going to do it solo.
Nice.
It's a training run.
Scumbag.
It's a train. I mean, you got to be ready to go do all Bear 100 with no crew or pacers. So.
Racine?
Me? Okay. I am going to try my first hand at pacing at Potawatomi, and I'm more nervous about that than I'm doing my first 100-miler in September. Cool. So I just want to be able to pace somebody well so that I can do it again, because I think I like doing that kind of thing. I like helping people reach the goal, like Cap, you were saying. It's like, it means more when you see somebody, you help somebody get to that point. But I want to do my first 100-miler, and...
Which 100-miler is that?
Hennepin.
Cool.
So I want to get
that's
that
in Western Illinois?
Yeah. So point to point, so...
Your husband going to run it with you?
No, he's going to crew.
So you've already beat him. That's nice.
I've already beat him. Yeah.
Flatlander's going to have an aid station mile right, 60 right. with a bottle of Jack Daniels for you.
Jack Daniels, because you were talking about Jager bombs, and I just want Jack.
Well, we're going to have a DJ booth. Corey's going to go 30-hour DJ.
I want the music that you have.
Blue jeans.
We're going to have the pole dancing.
And I want the music that you, the girl.
Yep,
the,
we got it.
When we see you coming, we'll get the Neil Diamond cranking.
Neil Diamond. Yes, exactly.
It's money talks.
And I will hallucinate that you are him, so I'll ask for your autograph. Because about then, I hallucinate.
Now I'm worried about being sexually abused on the Hennepin Trail.
I'm just waiting to see what I do on this one. So anyway,
that's nice. Awesome. First 100, though.
Aaron.
Oh, sorry, I'm still thinking about her doing her first 100. I'm running a half marathon next Saturday. You guys are very excited Woo-hoo! About that with your 100-mile races and shit. That's nice. But that's a training run. For Boston, which is in April.
Are you going to buy another jacket?
Of course.
Every year?
Every year I buy a jacket, and then I buy everybody that comes with me a mug.
Oh, that's
it's a
nice.
Boston Marathon mug.
I got a mug, but I didn't go.
Yeah. Well,
wow.
A special mug, yeah.
What's your goal this year for the Boston Marathon, since you've done it a few times?
Every year I've done really shitty at it. And by that, I mean... Like
way
three,
faster than I could go.
Like a
way faster than anybody in this room has ever even dreamed of running.
But like I can't even qualify for Boston at Boston. I'm not.
Now, did you have the same issue as I did when I ran Boston? It was like I hit mile 15 and I was already getting cramps
exactly
in my legs.
It's
from that downhill
it's
running.
All the first 15 miles is downhill and it rips up your quads.
So
and,
like how many hundreds of feet of descent is there in the first 15 miles?
It's not that much.
It's not, but you're running faster.
But you're doing fastest marathon pace. And it feels like you ran a 5K at your fastest pace four times, and your legs are just, I mean, they're like wobbly. I mean, I'm 2 years in a row, I'm 22 minutes slower or something for the Boston Marathon than I am in Chicago.
Are you going to try training downhill more?
I'm going
this year?
To Colorado in 2 weeks for like 4 weeks, and my aunt bought a house in Boulder, and I'm going to run in mountains and live there for 4 weeks.
That'll be interesting to see if it makes a difference. I'll be curious.
Other thing is this last year I haven't been able to run as much because of my hips. That's why I was curious about how far you guys run. So I used to run like 100 miles a week for like a year, and now I do like 50 miles a week, but I also do, it's really kind of dumb, but spinning. I think my VO2 max and stuff is higher, but my legs are weaker.
So your big focus of the year is Boston?
For right now, yeah, and then we'll see what happens next.
What are you thinking maybe beyond that if you do?
Then it's just, then I guess I'll probably do, Chicago I always do, but I'm always trying to break 250. I don't think that's possible. But I wouldn't mind doing this thing in Tahoe where you do three marathons in 3 days.
Tahoe triple?
Yeah. Just because they're all road marathons, but they're up and down a hill.
Well, it's got to be pretty.
It's super pretty, yeah. I mean, I don't know if you guys do this, but this is something that's only happened to me in the last 4 years since I've kind of gotten a little bit faster. I look for races that are small that I can maybe win. That's kind of my goal.
I'm looking for 100 where there's like two people.
Just because it's fun.
It's my mom and somebody down the block.
So I don't know about this Tahoe one. If you can even, I don't know how fast people are. They're probably super fast. But yeah.
So you would like to win a marathon?
That'd be fun. Yeah. I ran the Kansas City Marathon last year, like a week after Chicago. I couldn't win it. There's like a group of like kind of mediocre Kenyan guys that go around from like small town to small town. Oh, yeah. And win like $500,000 like a week.
I would think that there's always going to be either
they make like $30,000 a year,
like the mediocre Kenyan or the high school kid that you can't beat. One or the other.
High schools aren't that fast.
No.
But maybe if I go up to like Wisconsin, maybe you can win a race there, right? Or like Mississippi, you have to find like a whatever the heaviest state is in the union.
I think it's Missouri.
Could be. Kid City was good, but yeah, that's it. I don't have any. There's not very interesting goal. But my hips being bad is a problem, so it's hard to do a lot of races.
What about Kat?
I guess my biggest goal race would be the Superior 100 in September. I think it's a lottery this year. Hopefully I'll get in. But leading up to that, I'm doing Sillamo 3-day with Scott and like 10 other friends. And then I'm doing the Indiana 100 at the end of April. And I'm also signed up for Black Hills 100 in South Dakota in June.
So I'm confused. If your favorite race ever or your favorite running experience was pacing at the Superior 100. So why isn't your biggest goal this year to get me to the finish line at the Angeles Crest 100?
Because you're a dickhead.
Okay.
I think I'm being set up here. That is definitely a huge goal, and not just to get you to the finish line, but to really finish with a good effort. I've got some tricks up my sleeve that I'm going to use when the going gets tough during that race. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. But
we have tricks up your sleeve. Can you give us one? Like a secret?
They're all secret because I don't want his competitors to know.
Is it related to Neil Diamond or Jack Daniels?
No.
It's probably she's like caffeine.
I'm immune to it. All right. Well, I think that kind of wraps up what we're going to be doing. And, next episode, we're going to try and put it together. I think that in the interim, if you want to contact us, we have a Facebook page, 10 Junk Miles. Come on the page, make some comments, critical, doesn't matter, good or bad. We want to put together a product that you're happy with. Give us some more things that you'd like us to talk about or some people that you'd like us to have interviewed. We're also on Twitter at 10 Junk Miles. And I think that the email address is 10junkmiles@gmail.com.
Yep.
Probably should mention that for every segment.
I'm sorry?
Probably should have mentioned the email or the Twitter every segment, yeah.
Oh, yeah, every segment. And that's about it.
Yeah.
So thanks for coming. Thanks for listening. And
I'll get my digestive problems figured out.
Hopefully
the entire time we've been recording, his stomach has been growling.
Nothing smells, though, yeah? We're good.
Well, I mean, you got to keep in mind, Aaron ran here, and then he ate some pizza and drank some beer.
Yeah.
And
I'm
thinking about running back.
I'm probably going to have to run back home. All right, that's it.